Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, before we get into the scriptures this morning, before you can understand where I want to take us in the Word of God today, you have to understand Patrick Roy, all right? And so if you don't know who Patrick Roy is, he's a goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, or he was a goalie back in my day, all right? We didn't know him as Patrick Roy. We knew him as Pat Roy, if you're American, okay? And so, but Patrick Roy was the, he's actually a Hall of Fame goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche. And here's what's so interesting. I was playing for the Carolina Hurricanes. We were in Colorado to play against Patrick Roy and the Colorado Avalanche. And get this, Pat Roy, he had an opportunity to become the winningest goaltender of all time. And so, but the Carolina Hurricanes, my team were in, and that wasn't going to happen, right? And so it was actually an unbelievable game back and forth. And I believe Colorado tied it up late in the game, and we went into overtime. And so for those of you not familiar with hockey, when you go into sudden death overtime, players like me usually sit on the bench, okay? I had, in 14 years playing in the NHL, I had 37 goals. Okay, which is not a lot. But I will say this, I did have 5 game-winning goals in my career and 3 overtime winners. So there, right? I actually had 4 overtime winners, but one was for the other team. So I don't want to talk about that this morning. And so 3 overtime winners. So I don't know if maybe moving forward, you want to refer to me as Big Money or clutch, you know, if you're comfortable with that, that's fine. But it's not about me. It's about the Bible and all these different things. And so, but sure enough, somehow, some way, I got the tap to go on the ice during the overtime, the sudden death overtime. And my teammate, Kevin Dineen, went streaking down the wing and he pulls up and then he passed it back to me at the blue line. And I just got to say this, I stepped into that shot and I let it rip. Guess what? It went in. We won. Sorry, Pat Roy. Man, you're not going to get the record tonight because I let it rip. And that is God's word for you this morning. Man, just in my time of prayer, I just felt like the Lord wanted to let you know, to challenge you, to provoke you. Man, that God wants you to let it rip with your life. And so that's where we want to go this morning. And so there's the great prophet, you may have heard of him, Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky, he holds the all-time record for goals, assists, and total points in the NHL. But he had this to say about that. He says, 100% of the shots that you don't take never go in. And it's this idea, he's letting us know, hey, if you want to be significant, if you want to do something with your life, you have to be willing to take the shot, man, to let it rip. And so today we're going to be looking, continuing our series on the life of David. It's a sub-series in our summer series called BC, A Journey Through the Old Testament. And as we look through the life of David, today we're going to read in 1 Samuel 17 that David is going to be confronted by a giant by the name of Goliath, and David's going to gather 5 smooth stones. But can you imagine how tragic it would be if, though David gathered these stones, he never used him to fight against his enemy Goliath? How many know that the story would end real different if he didn't have the courage to let it rip, man? It would be a real different story. And here's my deep fear, both for myself and for you, is that at the end of time, that we would stand before Almighty God, and then we would notice that we have all these stones left over from our life. And God would look at you and look at me and go, why do you still have these stones? Why didn't you let them rip while you were on the earth? And so, in fact, I believe Jesus references this in Matthew chapter 25. He tells the parable of a rich ruler who gives talents out to his servants to serve and to use them and to make a profit. He gave to one 5, one 2, and the other one 1. And get this, it says that one of the stewards, he took his one talent, and for whatever reason, be it fear, be it laziness, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, because he buried his talent. And then when his master returned, he asked the question, why do you still just have the talent? Why didn't you let it rip? And get this, in Jesus, in the story, he has very harsh words for this unfaithful steward because he didn't let it rip with all God gave him. He says this, you wicked and lazy servant. And so that is, we're not going to be like that, because we're going to take all the gifts, skills, and talents that God has given to us, and man, we're going to let it rip to the glory of God. It's fascinating. Do you know that even scientific research, it shows us this. They were trying to determine the benefits between activity and inactivity. In other words, man, were people filled with regret because they did something and they wish they wouldn't have? Or was their indecision about, oh, I wish I would have done something and yet I didn't do it? And get this, in the immediate future, the results were 50-50. You know, half the people were like, no, I was glad I didn't do anything, or, you know, I don't wish I did anything. But get this, as time passes, that percentage shoots through the roof. That by the time late in life, there's 83% to 17 is saying this, that they're filled with regret at inactivity. In other words, man, I wish I would have done more with my life. And so we are going to be a people that let it rip while we have breath in our lungs. And so David is going to let it rip today. And so years later, we're going to read about the life of David in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. And here's what the book of Acts has to say about the life of David. It says this, that David fulfilled the purposes of God and fell asleep. I don't know about you, but I want that on my gravestone. That Adam Burt fulfilled the purposes of God. He let it rip, and then he fell asleep, right? And so that's what I want for me, and I want that for you as well. And so we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I just need to kind of recap, and we'll highlight a few verses to kind of bear down on here this morning. And so 1 Samuel 17 begins with the Philistines having camped against the armies of King Saul in Israel. And so there's this massive Philistine army, the arch enemy of the people of God. And get this, while Saul and his men are dressed in military apparel, they're not acting like warriors. They look the part, but they're not doing anything. They're not fighting. They're not engaging the enemy. In other words, they're not letting it rip. And so I see this all too often. In church, in Christians, that you look the part, you have your Bible and you can quote some verses, but you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And I got news for you. God has a mission for your life. Listen, early on in my Christian walk, I had a guy get in my face and challenge me about this. And so I'm going to do the same thing to you. So there's a buddy of mine, John Blue. He was a former goaltender. He played a little bit in the NHL. And when he retired, he went into ministry. And I did the same thing. And it was funny. While I was still playing, he just challenged me. In fact, he got in my face and he challenged me with these words. He says, Adam, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? And, you know, I found it kind of offensive because I'm like, hey, bro, get out of my face. I read my Bible. Man, I tithe and give to the church. Man, I love my wife and my family. So get off me, bro. And he's like, he says this, Adam, I didn't ask you about your morality. I asked you, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? And I got it. I was like, man, God has a mission and a purpose for my life. And it was transformative. Like, you and I get to play in the story, in the drama of Almighty God. You have a role to play. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, we read this. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And so that word for this champion, this Goliath, he was referred to as the champion of the Philistines. That word champion in the Hebrew, it means this, the man standing between, the man standing between. And so the big idea was this, is that it was a representative warfare, that the Philistines would present their champion, their man in between, and then Israel, God's people, were to send their champion, the man in between. It would be representative warfare. It would lead to less collateral damage, right? And whoever's champion wins. But we read this, that Goliath, he was 6 cubits and a span. We don't know what that is, but here's what we know now today. Most scholars would agree that brother was 9 foot 6 inches tall. This great, enormous warrior, 9 foot 6 inches tall. And so he was this massive guy. But we remember, if you remember last week, King Saul, the first king of Israel, it was said of Saul, he was a head and shoulders taller than any other man, any other warrior in all of Israel. And so what should have happened, the Philistines' tall guy would take on Israel's tall guy. But guess what? We're going to read this about King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 17, looking at verse 11, it says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words, the words of Goliath the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. See, instead of rising up, King Saul letting it rip, he was caught with fear and he shrank back. And now Israel, God's people, lacked a champion. But we're going to read, see, God in his goodness is going to provide a champion, a warrior, a man to stand in between. And that man's name, of course, is David. And David, the name David, it means the beloved of God. And here's what I need to bring it back to where we are in our day-to-day life. Can I tell you this? That the world lacks a champion, someone to stand in between. And that should never be. You know why? Because you're there. You are the beloved of God, that God has called you to be the champion, the one who would stand and intercede on behalf of the earth, that you would be the hands and feet of Jesus. In other words, man, your household, your office, your classroom, man, your team, whatever it may be, that group should never lack a champion because you're there, because God's called you to let it rip with your life. It says this in the book of Acts chapter 17, I believe it's verses 26 and 27. It says that God determines where we live and when we live that people might see Jesus. And that's the reason why you are where you are. You live where you live. You work where you work, because God's called you to be a champion, one to stand in between. And we read this, our hero comes onto the scene in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 through 18, and it says this. It says, and Jesse said to David his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. And so here's what we see is that how does our hero arrive? Jesse actually sends David to the front battle lines to go on a cheese run for his brothers. a little bit of an odd kind of a intro into your destiny, David, right? But I think there's something very important that we can get with this. Like, if you're going to let it rip with your life, then you need to be faithful with your cheese. How does David begin? Man, he's on a cheese run. He's an Uber Eats guy. But get this, man, he's faithful in doing even this humble thing before his father and before his heavenly father. He's great where he was. And so I guess my challenge for you this morning is, man, be great where you are. Like, David wasn't waiting until he was king of Israel to be great and to be faithful where he was. He's like, man, I'm going to be great right here. The other great prophet in our world today, you may have heard of his name, Denzel Washington. He's amazing, by the way. And the prophet Denzel says this, you don't have to be great to get started, but you do have to get started to be great. And Denzel's challenging you. I'm challenging you this morning. Hey, be great where you are. You know, we read about Jesus in Mark chapter 7, verse 37. It was said this of Jesus, he has done all things well. Like Jesus, no matter what he was doing, there was an excellence to his life. And so David, wherever he was prior to being king, he just decided, wherever I am, I'm going to be great where I am. I'm going to be faithful with my cheese. And so we see that David was a great shepherd. And if you don't believe me, just ask the lion and the bear. David's going to take him out protecting his sheep. David was a great musician. And if you don't believe me, just ask the demons that would flee when David would play his harp. Man, and David was great with the sling. And if you don't believe me, just ask Goliath, okay? And so David was faithful and great where he was. And there's this principle in the scriptures, and it's just true, that if you're faithful over little, man, that God will entrust you with much. He'll make you a ruler over much. And so are you faithful with your cheese? Faithful right where you are today. Pastor Mark Batterson, he says it this way. He says, potential is God's gift to you. Now, what you do with that potential is your gift back to Almighty God. And so the great composer Johann Sebastian Bach, he loved God and he loved music and he was skilled in composition. And every time he would compose a musical score, he would write these letters at the bottom of his composition, SDG. And it stood for this, Sole Deo Gloria. It means this, to God be the glory. See, Bach recognized, man, whatever I do and wherever I am, I'm going to be great for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul would say this in the book of Corinthians. He would say this, you're a letter written by God and read by men. And so here's what I know. I know many of you are never going to get up on a Sunday and deliver a sermon. But I will tell you this, by your life, you are preaching a sermon each and every day. And here's my challenge, man, that you're to live your life in such a way that people have to take Jesus and the gospel seriously. Like you live your life with such excellence and yet such humility that people got to scratch their head and say, maybe this Jesus thing is legit, right? And so, man, the great Renaissance artist, Michelangelo, as he was painting the Sistine Chapel, it was interesting. There's a story records that someone approached him and they noticed this painstakingly effort and detail that Michelangelo was using on the corner of the Sistine Chapel. Like he says, no one's ever going to see this. Why would you put such effort into it? And he says, very simply, because God will see. God will see. And so whatever we do, we're to do it heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Because your life, it's telling a story. You're preaching a message. And what are people hearing through your life? And you know that guy, Michelangelo, he would also go on probably to create, to chisel, to hammer out the most iconic statue in all of the world. And it's the great David. People travel around the world to go see this epic sculpture that was chiseled out of one piece of marble. And yet, with all that, we see in reality, Almighty God, that in the wilderness, tending sheep through the lion and the bear, what was God doing? He was chiseling away and he was creating David, the great king of Israel, faithful with little, ruler over much. So let's be faithful with our cheese. And so now David, back to our story, David approaches the battlefront and he's beginning to talk with his brothers when suddenly Goliath appears. And we read this in 1 Samuel 17:23. It says, and as he talked with them, he being David, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. But get this, and it says, and David heard him. Bum, bum, bum. Like that's supposed to be like, but this time it was different because David, the man of faith, heard. And then we go on and we read in verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so, like now David's going to let it rip. And here's what I need you to see, that men and women that let it rip with their lives, they see opportunity where others see obstacles. They see opportunity where others only see obstacles. Man, everybody else in the armies of Israel, they just said, man, he's too big, we can't win. David said, he's so big, we can't miss him, right? And so that's the big idea. And so do you see opportunity or do you only see obstacles? The greatest coach to ever live was a man by the name of John Wooden. John Wooden, he won 10 NCAA titles with the UCLA Bruins. He's pretty much universally known as the greatest coach of all time. And get this, Wooden also was a devoted Christ follower. And Coach John Wooden was amazing. He had this young superstar phenom. He was 7'2" tall. His name was Lou Alcindor. You and I would know him today as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And so you can imagine a man 7'2" just dunking and dunking and dunking until the NCAA wanted to even out the playing field. And so get this, they actually outlawed the dunk. You couldn't dunk during a basketball game. And Lou Alcindor, he was so discouraged and so furious, he was ready to quit. But he had a coach that could speak to him and be like, Kareem, Lou Alcindor, don't look at the obstacles. What are the opportunities that are set before you? And Coach Wooden was able to get him to shift his perspective. And now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he saw this not as an obstacle, but now he had an opportunity to work on new nuances of his game. And it was during that season that he created the unstoppable shot. It was called the skyhook. And with that shot, Lou Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he would go on and he would score the most points in NBA history of all time. Why? Because one man convinced him, hey, don't look at the obstacle in front of you, but what are the opportunities that God has set before you? And I want to encourage you, man, those that in our the climate and where we are today, be it with the economy, be it with, I don't know what circumstances and what obstacles are standing before you, but you need to quit fixating on the obstacle and you need to fix your eyes onto Jesus. I mean, you got to look at Jesus and not look at your giants, because when you fix your eyes on Jesus, it'll right size your giants. And in David, here's something he knew. David knew this, is that difficulty is simply development in disguise. Difficulties are just development in disguise. That he was beginning to learn that when obstacles were presented in his path, that God was actually exercising, training David to be the greatest king in all of Israel. And so you remember that David, he's out in the wilderness tending sheep. A lion attacks the sheep. And so David has to get courage and he has to learn to fight and he fights the lion. And get this, if you think it didn't get any worse, a bear attacked his sheep. I'm like, who knew that there were bear in the Middle East, right? And so, but rather than go, oh, all these obstacles, David confronted the bear. He rescued the sheep. And here's what he realizes now in this Goliath moment, that God has been preparing me this whole time for my Goliath moment. And we read this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And so, but we're going to also read this, and we've hinted at it, that David, before he confronted the giant, he went and he found five smooth stones. And it's interesting that the Bible gives that intricate detail that David, he would collect five smooth stones. And many scholars believe there's different reasons why the Bible does this. And one is this is, you can read later on in 2 Samuel 21, get this, that there were four other giants that David and his mighty men would kill. And so that's the reason for the five stones. There was Goliath and the four other ones in 2 Samuel 21. And I believe that could be quite true. But I'd also submit to you this, you know, that numbers are significant in the scriptures, that we get 8 is the number of new beginnings, that 7 is the number of completion, 12 is the number of government, 3 is a number of perfection and completion. And so, but get this, the number 5 is the number of grace. And I believe this is one way the Bible's communicating to us that meant the grace of God is always sufficient for you and for me. And so I've experienced this in my own life, and maybe this is just me, you know, so do with it what you will. But a fear of failure can keep you from taking steps of faith. A fear of failure can keep you from taking steps of faith. And I know even in my playing days, when I my time playing in the NHL, that I could see that there were some players that would play to win, and there was a freedom and a victory to their game. And there were other players that played not to lose, and they were tense and they were afraid, and they never reached their full potential. You know, the Apostle Paul, he'll put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He'll say this, all the runners run in a race, but only one gets the prize. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. In other words, play to win, to let it fly, man. Don't play not to lose. And fear will be this thing that will hold you back. And so could you imagine if David, he's afraid that he's going to miss the giant. But here's the great news. Bro, you got four more stones. You're good to go. And the grace of God is like that, man. And so if David's afraid and doesn't let it rip, we've already said this, man, that the story ends really different. If David doesn't have the courage to let it rip because he's afraid he might miss, the story ends and David was killed and went home to be with the Lord, right? It's a very different ending. And so if you want to do anything of significance with your life, man, that you're going to have to take a step of faith. Man, fear of failure will rob you of significance for your life. In fact, I was reading in this book, it's called Courage is Calling, and it's recapping an account from the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I love this. It says this, it was 3.5 decades later, and Benjamin Rush still had imprinted in his mind the feeling of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He says, no one in the room ever forgot it. Do you recollect the pensive and awful silence, he wrote to John Adams in old age, which pervaded the house when we were called up one after another to the table of the President of Congress to subscribe what was believed by many at that time to be our own death warrants? Did you catch that? Man, as each of the members of Congress got up to sign the Declaration of Independence, to them they knew they were signing their death warrant. But I would tell you this, man, that significance is always located on the other side of fear. And so I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, man, to overcome your fear. Because get this, man, God's grace is always sufficient. Like, listen, you might swing for the fences and miss, but God's grace will be there to meet you. And you might miss it again, and God's grace will be there to pick you back up again. You can't outfail the grace of Almighty God. So there's a guy, you might have heard of him. His name is Cam Neely. He played for the Boston Bruins, but he was also in the Academy Award-winning film, Dumb and Dumber. Do you remember this film? Cam Neely was played for the Boston Bruins, and he was also known as Seabass in the movie Dumb and Dumber. And here's what's so funny is I was playing against the Boston Bruins, Cam Neely and I got in a fight, and so we dropped the gloves together, and he's way tougher than me, but I switched hands, and I caught him with the left, and I gave him a black eye. And so my teammates were like, oh, he gave it to you. He beat you up. And I'm like, hey, man, be quiet. He's a lot tougher than me, and you're making him mad. And so sure enough, next period, we went out, and he was just furious, and he wanted to fight me again. And it was kind of a draw. And get this, he still wasn't having enough. He was going to fight me again and again and again. What? Until he won. And I just think I'm going to approach my faith that way. I'm just going to keep fighting and swinging with the fight of faith until I win or Jesus comes home again. And I want you to do the same, because God's grace will always be there to pick it up. It gives us the freedom to let it rip with our life. And so I need to ask you this question this morning, and I pray you consider it. Man, what is the step of faith that God's asking you to take, but it's because of the fear of failure you refuse to do it? Now, what is the step of faith God's asking of you this morning? Can I encourage you? Man, let it rip. Man, the grace of God will be there to meet you, because, man, significance is always on the other side of fear. And then notice this, back to our story. David, he takes his step of faith. And so it says this, that he runs towards the giant. And as he hurls his sling, get this, don't think it's like some little measly slingshot. Do you know that researchers have recreated, man, the sling, and they realize this, that it has the velocity of a .45 caliber handgun as David, what, lets it rip. And as David runs towards Goliath by faith, he lets it rip by faith, and that stone buries right in the forehead of the giant Goliath, and the giant falls to the ground. Get this, there's a collective gasp in both Israel's camp and the Philistines' camp, because the giant, the champion, had been felled by David by faith. And so here's what's so incredible. You know, our God has a sense of humor, right? Did you know that, in the book of Leviticus, the penalty for blaspheming and dishonoring God, do you know what it is? It's stoning. There you go, Goliath. And so God has a sense of humor. And then we'll end our time here this morning with 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 to 51. It says this. It says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and he killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And so, did you get that? Like David, the very sword that Goliath threatened to cut off David's head, David used the champion's head, Goliath's sword, to cut off his very own head. And so I guess I'll close our time with this is, several years ago, we were hosting a women's conference at our church in Manhattan, Every Nation, New York City. And we were hosting it at the historic Salvation Army Theater. And so this big women's conference, and I was sitting up in the balcony just to kind of make sure everything's going smoothly. And we had all these guest speakers in. And you just can't imagine the shock that overcame me as I'm sitting up in this balcony and I'm looking at the stage, and this woman gets on the stage, and I'm like, that looks like my daughter, Cassie. Why is she on the stage? And so as this woman takes the stage, and I'm like, what in the world? I'm texting my wife. I'm like, babes, why is Cassie on stage? Why is she on stage? And then suddenly she starts to sing. And I'm just telling you, beauty began to fall out of her mouth. And she began to just worship God. And a hush came over this place. And I'm like, what in the world? And then as I dialed in, I realized that can't be Cassie, because she can't sing at all. And so, sure enough, it was actually a woman, Shelby Rollins. She's actually a professional voice coach in Nashville, Tennessee, for many of the country music's big stars. And so she looked identical to my daughter Cassie. And so it was so funny. After the service, I can't even begin to tell you how many people approached me. They're like, "Pastor Adam, your daughter has a beautiful voice." And I just simply replied, "Thank you." And so, but I mentioned that to say this is that this woman resembled my daughter Cassie. And if you pay attention to our story today, you're going to see the life of David resembles someone else's life, the coming king, the son of David, Jesus Christ. Like, did you see it? Like, both David and Jesus were born in Bethlehem. That both David and Jesus were mocked by their brothers. That both David and Jesus, they were both shepherds. That, get this, both David and Jesus, they were tested in the wilderness. That both David and Jesus were crowned king of the Jews. And that both David and Jesus, we see today, were sent to the front lines by their fathers. And here's what I love, that David would use Goliath's sword and cut off the giant's head. And then get this, David takes the head of Goliath, and get this, Jewish tradition many scholars believe that David took the head of Goliath. He took it just outside the gates of Jerusalem, and he buried it in a hill by the name of Golgotha. The name Golgotha, it means the place of the skull. And 1,000 years after that moment, a son of David, Jesus the Christ, would be hoisted up on a cross. And get this, with his shed blood, suddenly in that place, that Jesus, our champion, would take the sword of death, hell, and the grave, and would absolutely cut off the head of our enemy, the devil. He would cut off the serpent's head. We would read about it later and say that Jesus took him who had the power of death and through death conquered death. And so now death no longer has a sting for you and I because of the Son of David who at Golgotha, the place of the skull, he would set us free. And get this, because of Jesus's great victory, now 2,000 years later, you and I, that God too, he's given us a mission and a purpose, but he hasn't left us defenseless. He's given us the full armor of God. And he too has given us a sword, the sword of the Spirit. And now we're to take our lives and boldly go out and let it rip. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you would feel, man, the purpose and the mission of God pulsating through your bones, and that by faith, man, you would be the glory of God wherever God has placed you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that you're the great, glorious King. Lord, that you've saved us, you set us free, and you've given us a mission and a purpose. And I pray here this morning, God, may we be a people that let it rip by faith, that where we go, to our job, to our classroom, in our home, in our household, on our teams, that we're going to be a people that live for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey. And before we close, can I just remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. There are three ways that you can give if you feel led to support our ministry, or if you consider Every Nation New Jersey your church home. We believe in the tithe. A tithe simply means a tenth of all we take in from the Lord, we give back to him as a form of worship. And so there's three ways you can give digitally. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you simply text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a real convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or your money order right here to our offices at Every Nation New Jersey. You just at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you give. Every Nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Let it rip with your life.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.